If you have your Bibles, we're going to be going through some different scriptures. The focus this morning is going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3. But if you've looked around, you've seen the arrows that we have everywhere. It's out, you know, we have the wooden arrows out there, and it's on all of our logos and so forth. What are those? Well, that's a part of our vision. It's our vision to gather, grow, and go. And that first aspect is very important for us, everyone gathering together. That's our Sunday mornings. That's why we're truly here. And as we talk about that, as we've looked at what it means to gather together, we need to remember that the church is God's plan A. There is no plan B. There's no plan B. God said the church is how I'm going to make sure that I am bringing people up and people are being saved. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so that's the first part of our arrows, gathering together, everyone gathering together. And then that final, the third aspect is go. The Great Commission, the commission that Jesus gave to us in Matthew chapter 28. I want to read that to you. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And as Christ followers, we understand that as we are going, we're already going somewhere. We're already walking in this life. We are a believer in Jesus. Jesus has made an impact inside of our life. And because he has made that impact, we're already going about our daily lives. And so what he's saying here, Jesus is saying, as you are going, the last commission of Jesus must be the first mission of the church. As you are going, this is what you've been called to do. But I want us to focus this morning on that middle arrow, everyone growing together. Here's what I hope that we will learn and live out this morning. Spiritual growth is intentional, not automatic. Spiritual growth is intentional, not automatic. You know, there's things that as you live longer in this life that you will experience and that you will be able to understand more. I asked my grandfather, I said, hey, what's the keys to success as you get older? He looked at me and he said, well, I've learned a few things. For example, I've learned not to take a sleeping pill and a laxative at the same time. Yep, amen. That's years of wisdom right there. Rich Mullins said, a lot of times when we look at people we admire spiritually, we think that they have arrived at this place where they cease to be tempted. Have you ever thought that? You see people and you look at them and you're like, they are what I strive for. And they've reached that point where they will no longer be tempted. He goes on to say, the reality is our faith may grow stronger over time, but the temptations never go away. That's what we can understand in the experience. And now we come to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And I think that this will help us practice this truth. You therefore, Peter says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and the day of eternity. Amen. Now, when we read that verse, this context speaks of the nefariousness of the false teachers. It talks about the nearness of Christ's return. And because of those two certainties, because we know that false teachers are always going to be around us, because we know that the nearness of Christ is coming. And here's the important part that we understand. Peter, did he think that we were going to be around here 2,000 years later? No, he didn't. He actually believed, Peter believed that Jesus was going to come back in his life. He believed that Jesus was going to come back in his lifetime. And we need to understand that as well. We need to be preparing for the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And because of those two certainties, we're given two exhortations to guard and to grow. I want us to focus on just those two things here this morning, guard and grow. Let's look at the first one, guard. We see this, verse 17. Peter says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability." He says here, beforehand. What he's trying to get us to understand is it helps us to prepare for what lies ahead. We need to make sure that we beforehand are prepared. We gather together that we can start that process of fully being guarding ourselves, being ready and prepared. And then the phrase, to take care, it calls of watchful and being wary of error. We need to be on the lookout that error is going to be around us, because lethargic believers will bail on the Bible if we do not guard the truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul warns this, that we could be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. We need to be careful because there is error all around us. Many today have been carried away. They've been carried away by progressive Christianity, easy believism, the prosperity gospel, secularism, gender and sexual issues, sloppy spirituality, the idea that all we have to do is just believe. And here's the thing, we're living right now in an age where all of a sudden spirituality is a focus. We live where people, they want to know what spirituality, well, I'm very spiritual. Doesn't mean that they're a Christ follower, but they're very spiritual. Well, it's our job to make sure that we see and know the difference, that we are guarding ourselves along the way. Those who are lawless have no concern for the clear teachings of the truth. They will try at every way, and they are nefarious. They will do anything that they can to turn you away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it sounds pleasing. It sounds easy. It sounds so just wonderful to the ear. We're told that the tickling ears want to hear a certain thing. But we need to guard ourselves against that. Fam, I want you to know that you and I, we need to guard ourselves. Because we don't want to lose our own stability. We need to make sure that we are building our foundation on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Bible and His Word, that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and that we are always making sure that there is no error among us. We must guard ourselves that we do not lose our steadiness, leaving ourselves stagnant and ineffective. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 serves as a warning for us. The writer says, "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." We don't want to drift away. We want to stay close to what Jesus has laid out for us. Spiritual growth is intentional. It's not automatic. And that brings me to our second point. Our second point is to grow. The best safeguard against falling down is growing up in your faith. It's a bit like riding a bike, and you're thinking, oh yeah, it's a bit like riding a bike. You get back on and you learn. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not like, well, I was a Christian, and then I walked away, and now I've come back later in life. Okay, that's awesome, that's great, but that's not what I'm trying to bring out to you. What I want to make sure is that you understand is that if you're not moving forward on a bike, what happens? You fall over. Absolutely. I don't care if it's, you know, unless it's a tricycle, okay? You can't really fall over on that. But if we're talking a bicycle, if we're talking a unicycle, if we're talking a motorcycle, if you stop, you don't put your feet down, you're going to fall over. You have no momentum. There always has to be forward motion in everything. If not, we will fall over. And that's exactly what happens within the Christian life. I wanted to check out what D.A. Carson says. He writes, "People do not drift toward holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. We drift toward compromise, and we call it tolerance. We drift toward disobedience, we call it freedom. We drift toward superstition, and we call it faith." Again, let's go back to what Peter says. Look at the first part of verse 18. "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." The word "but," that tells us that there's a contrast that's happening. You know, there's the ones in verse 17 that if we're not steady, if we're not focused, then we will fall over, we will drift, we will fall off, or we will be led astray. But God exhorts us to grow. It means to enlarge, it means to add, it means to augment, it means to advance, it means to increase. And that's what we are called to do as fellow believers. And it's a present active imperative. It means that the growth must be continual. It must be active. It must be passionate. It's a pursuit that we must always be going after. We need to make sure that our growth never stops. We don't hear much about spiritual growth these days in sermons and teachings that are out there. Many Christians have been diverted by various teachings that promise power, spiritual energy, and success. But here's the thing, you will not have that if you don't grow spiritually in maturity. It's the same thing that happens. Our kids, they look at the vehicles that we drive, they look at the house that we own, they look at the things that we have, and they think at 20 that they should have the same exact things that we do. You didn't work for it. Well, it's not just being given to you. And if you keep driving it the way that you are and breaking mirrors off the cars, I'm sorry, my fault. Mentioned that a couple weeks ago and got in trouble. But they think, oh, well, I have to have, I remember my grandparents talking to Teresa and I when we bought our first house. And we found one that we really liked and we were going to buy it. We were going to purchase this house. It was going to be awesome. We were ready to make this choice. We were going to spend $70,000 on a house. Yeah, I know, right? That's just a down payment today. But we were, and my grandparents, they walked in. They looked at the house. Oh, it's nice. Oh, this is a great neighborhood. Do you really need something this big? Well, it's not that big compared to their house, because I'm thinking on a scale of what they had, I'm getting smaller. But they're like, but do you really need it? It's just you and Teresa. Well, yeah, but we want to have a house to where we have, you know, when we have children, we're going to be able to grow. And, you know, so we're just going to keep moving along those ways. Well, you know, but the interest rates and you know, back then, 7%, we thought we got a good deal. Now it's the same thing today. 30 years later, 20-some years later. But I remember my grandparents going, yeah, but there's these other smaller houses that are two bedrooms that would probably be just as good for you. Do you really need a basement? Do you really need this? Do you really need that? I was like, what are you talking about? I didn't work for it. And I did, and then, you know, we struggled because we thought we could handle it, and then the first child was born in the house, and the bills started coming in more than they already were. And I think about that, and I think about what happens here. We think that, well, and it's taught in so many churches that, well, you just become a Christian, and all of a sudden, you're just a powerful believer. It's not the way it works. It's a growth. It's a process that we need to actively be, that we are pursuing every step of the way. Hear me on this. There are no spiritual shortcuts. there are no spiritual shortcuts. You can't coast in your Christianity. You can't hit the pause button and stay where you are. If you're not moving forward, you're going to be moving backwards. If you don't swim against the cultural current, you'll be swept away by the waves of worldliness. If you're not growing as a disciple, you're going to drift into godlessness. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13 balances our responsibility to grow with God's role in our growth. Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And Paul says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." That's God's role. That's God's ability in our lives. We could say it like this: God works in us to grow us. God works in us to grow us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 says, "So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." You know, sometimes, you know, we get so caught up that, I'm this great farmer. Let me tell you, I feel like I've been doing it for quite a while. This is one of the worst years to have a garden. For me personally. I don't know about you, but for me, it's been horrible. We planted everything. We had the rain. We barely had to water. Well, what'd that do? It sprung up the weeds. And I tried to keep them under control, and eventually they just kind of took over. And then the deer came in. We've had a fence up. The deer have stayed out. This year, they are eating everything. They took out the green beans. They wiped them all out, but I'm a good farmer. Then they started eating my peppers, and it's not a one-time thing. They're eating the jalapenos. They're eating the serranos. They're eating the poblanos. They're eating the ghost peppers. And it's, again, they keep coming back. I'm like, you sure you're okay? But anyways, we got some strong deer in our neighborhood. But I've always, I'm pretty good at this. And we think, I helped along the way. Jesus talks about that. You know, someone comes along and they're going to plant. Someone's going to come along and they're going to grow by watering. Someone's going to come along and they're going to do some pruning. Someone else may do some fertilizing along the way. But along the way, it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with any of you. It is God who does the work. Growth is the process. Growth is the process by which our positional truth becomes more and more a reality in practice. Notice our growth is to take place in two key areas. But grow, what? In grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So grow in grace. Grace means favor or a gift given to guilty people. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. I like the definition of grace: God's riches at Christ's expenses. So I ask you, are you growing in your understanding? Are you growing in your understanding that it is unmerited what you have received? Give me what I deserve. Be careful. You don't want that. Not when it comes to the Lord. Because what do we deserve? Hell. Death. Separation. For all of eternity. From our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grace, abundantly given to us, has set us free. And then we have in knowledge. The word knowledge refers to understanding. We're called to comprehend the words, the works, and the ways of Christ. That's difficult, right? That is extremely difficult to grow in that knowledge, to be able to understand. Have you ever just read a scripture and you're like, what? I will tell you, I'm still there. I will read a scripture and I'm like, huh? I've been reading for a while. I've been doing this for a little while. Jared says I've been doing it since Methuselah. It's not been quite that long. Pretty close. I mean, I was there with Moses, not Methuselah. What'd you say? Just a few years after. Yeah, I was after the flood, okay? But I've read, and I'm like, I don't understand that. And I've talked to Jared. I've talked to others. I've dug into my scriptures, and I'm like, okay, I get into my commentaries, and I'm trying to understand. And sometimes it's just difficult. But this is more than just putting facts together. Because we can have all the head knowledge, right? You can read a passage and you're like, yep, got it. Yep, understand it. I could pass the test. But is it getting here? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. John chapter 17, verse 3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." You see, we're urged to know him personally, experientially, and relationally. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." And before moving on, don't miss the word "and." We're called to grow in grace and knowledge. We need both. Some of you are like, "I got the knowledge part down. The grace stuff, leave that to the Lord." Yes, leave it to the Lord that he grows it in you. I don't want to show grace. Remember, grace was shown to you. We need to hold on to that, and we need to remember that every day of our lives. As our society continues to slide south spiritually, we must increasingly become people, who know all that we can about Jesus and to grow in a relationship with our Savior. For the third time in Peter's letter, Peter refers to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 11, chapter 2, verse 20, and now this time. And I love this fourfold title that Peter gives to Jesus. It's impossible to separate Jesus Christ as Savior from Jesus as Lord. And we need to remember that. You see, as Christians, as followers, we submit to him as Lord. We love him as Savior. We adore him as Jesus. And we worship him as Christ. So I ask you here this morning, would you say that you are growing in Christ? Would you say that you are truly growing closer to him? Are you growing closer to your fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Or have you stalled? Are you sitting on the bike and you're just trying to see how you can keep moving? For some of you, it's like you're on that incline. You're riding your bike. You're in, first gear as fast as you possibly can pedal, and you're just going and going and going and going and going, and you're trying to go uphill, and you feel like you're going absolutely nowhere, and you're teetering, but you're still moving. And that's the important thing that we have to hold on to, and we have to remember. This year, choose to move forward. Right now, choose to grow in your relationship with Jesus. Someone has said, "You can be young only once, but you can be immature for a long, long time." Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity." I want you to listen. Listen now. I've said it. I'm going to say it again. Spiritual growth is intentional. It is not automatic. So how do we take this? How do we put it together? What's it all about when it comes to growing together in Christ? We go back to the book of Acts. We see all of this happening in the first church in Jerusalem. Grow through the word. That's the first thing that we need to do. We need to grow through the word. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, as they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the most basic essential for any healthy church is a steadfast commitment to hearing, learning, and applying God's word. That's what we're called to do. We can only do so much of that right here. As we gather together in large group, we can only do so much. It's hard for you to be able to ask me questions. You can pick on me, you can tease me, but for me to be able to stop and answer your question, that's going to be difficult. But that's why we grow in our smaller groups. It starts by growing in large gatherings. Acts chapter 2, verse 46, and it says, and day by day, attending the temple together. The first Christians, they just gathered together, and they all came together. The early church was committed to grow through the preaching of God's word. Acts chapter 12, verse 12, describes believers meeting in the house of Mary as well, and that's where we really get into it, because now it's went from large group to small gatherings, small groups, where many were gathered together and were praying. You know, we can do that as we did this morning. We can pray over our teachers. We can pray over our young people that are getting ready to head off to college. But truly praying together, that's different. And that happens within those small settings. Acts 16, verse 40 tells us where Paul and Silas headed after they were released from prison. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. Acts chapter 20, verse 20, we read how Paul taught publicly and from house to house. We read in Romans chapter 16, verse 5, how Priscilla and Aquila opened their home for ministry. Greet also the church in their house. We go back to the Old Testament. Noah had a small group of seven, cramped quarters for a brief period of time. Daniel had three close friends. They formed a spiritual community. Jesus selected a group of 12 disciples. Out of that group of 12 disciples, there were three that he was extremely close with as well. Spiritual growth is a group project. We come together to do it as a team. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says that we are members of one another. The one anothering only happens when we start finding ways that we can gather together in those small areas. See, the word everyone is used at least 200 times in the Bible. It means all, every, and whole. Our assignment from the Almighty is that everyone will be on mission, gathering, growing, and going with the gospel. That's what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be. And so what I want to do is, we're going to end the message right here, and I'm going to come back up after we worship, and I'm going to talk about all of the groups that we have. And one really awesome thing is before we close, we've got a baptism this morning. Alexa's going to be giving her life over to the Lord, and Dad gets to baptize her. Exciting times that we get to be a part of that. And as we truly try to take in what this message means, how we can be closer to one another, how we can gather in these smaller settings, I want you to think right now, are you growing? Are you guarding your hearts? Are you growing in Christ? Are you growing closer to those that are around you? If you're not, now's the time to truly make that commitment. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can make that decision here today as well. You know, I don't know what all this means. I don't know what it looks like, but I know I need to make this decision. If you just need someone to pray with, if you need someone just to talk with, I want you to know that we're here for you as well. We're going to take communion, and this is our time that we truly reflect. We remember exactly what it is that Christ did as Savior and Lord. As our Savior, He chose to stay and go to the cross. He chose to give His life as a ransom for me and for you. as Lord, he now sits at the right hand of the Father. And he waits for his Father to say, go get him. Bring him home. And we can't wait for that day, but we can only do so. We only get to look forward to that day is if we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, if he is the Lord of our life. So I'm going to pray for us. We're going to take communion, and we're going to keep worshiping through praise. Let's pray. Almighty Father, I thank you that you've allowed us to gather in this large setting. That as we have gathered, Lord, we get to worship you through praise and through song and through hearing your scriptures and through taking communion here in just a moment. We look forward to the large gathering tonight as we celebrate and have such a great time eating a meal and just laughing and joking and playing different games. Lord, I know how awesome that's going to be. But Lord, I pray that you help us to grow closer to you and also to one another, that we will truly be who you have called us to be to one another. Father, as we partake of communion, help us to look back, look in, and to look forward. We pray this in your Son's most holy and precious name. Amen.